I propose that the federal government suspend all taxes on gasoline now paid by the American people from Memorial Day to Labor Day of this year.
Drivers, start your engines. There was Republican presidential hopeful John McCain speaking moments ago at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. Yes, that's Pennsylvania, where he doesn't have to worry about a primary next week, and where he just delivered a major economic policy speech. As you heard, he wants to institute a summer gasoline tax holiday. Other initiatives include lowering the federal corporate tax rate and creating what he's calling an alternative tax system for individual Americans. He also calls for the phasing out of the alternative minimum tax, which is an extra tax that's hitting more and more middle-class people. It was originally designed for the wealthy. He wants some people to start paying for Medicare, depending on their income bracket. We'll get into that. And Senator McCain laid out his plan to deal with the subprime mortgage crisis.
Under the home plan I have proposed, our government will offer these Americans direct and immediate help that can make all the difference. If you can't make your payments and you're in danger of foreclosure, you'll be able to go to any post office and pick up a form for a new home loan. In place of your flawed mortgage loan, you'll be eligible for a new 30-year fixed-rate loan backed by the United States government. Citizens will keep their homes, lenders will cut their losses, and everyone will move on, following the sounder practices that should have been observed in the first place.
We'll hear some more clips from John McCain's tax proposal speech from Pennsylvania. And with us now to discuss it, John Heilman, contributing editor at New York Magazine and author of this week's cover story about John McCain, and Business Week chief economist Mike Mandel. Mike and John, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Brian.
Mike Mandel, let me start with you. And on the gasoline tax holiday, now he's not the president now, so he can't impose it, but what exactly did he propose?
He proposed to sort of eliminate the federal gas tax for some period of time over the summer. Now, of course, there's state gas taxes as well, so he wasn't going to cut those. This is a symbolic gesture, and it's kind of a very strange one, because it goes against what a lot of economists, both Republican and Democrat, have been proposing, which is, in fact, higher gas taxes, in part to wean us away from dependence on oil. So, you know, I view a lot of McCain's proposals today as kind of, you know, throwing stuff out. He's going to see what works, what there's a positive reaction to, what there's a negative reaction to, and then I view this as a work in progress.
Gasoline tax at the federal level is pretty high, isn't it? Something like 18%?
18 cents.
Oh, it's 18 cents.
18 cents.
Oh, that's not that much anymore. Okay.
No. You see, the gas taxes are in the U.S. are actually quite small compared to Europe, and pretty much everybody has agreed, for everybody who's not a politician, that the right way to go is to raise this, and I'm really wondering whether or not he's going to pull back from this proposal. This is the thing that's getting the most. Play from today, and I don't think it's going to get a positive response.
John Heilman, how does the McCain you saw on television today comport with the McCain who you profiled on the cover of New York Magazine this week?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, I think that the starting point is that McCain realizes that he has a big problem on the economy, and the problem owes, you know, specifically to the fact that, you know, back in December in New Hampshire, you know, he made this now famous statement where he said, you know, I really don't understand the economy. I haven't understood the economy as well as I should have. You know, I have Alan Greenspan's book, but I haven't read it. And, you know, in a year when everybody assumes the economy is going to be a central, if not the central issue in November, you know, they realize that they need to make him seem as though he has a clue about the economy and that he would be a solid financial steward for the country. You know, on the politics, so he's obviously rolling out a bunch of economic speeches. This is one in a series. He's talking about the issue more and is trying to show that he has that competence. But the politics of it, you know, he's trying to position himself as being, he's triangulating basically, right? He's trying to position himself as being, it's always a difficult straddle for McCain. He's on one hand, you know, wanting to put himself in a position where he doesn't lose too much of the traditional conservative economic support that he needs to have on the side of the base. On the other hand, he also doesn't want to seem like a crazy laissez-faire guy, and so you have a lot of things in this speech that are borderline populist. I mean, he called out the names of the CEOs of Countrywide and Bear Stearns, and talked about, you know, corporate abuse in the speech. And, you know, to Michael's point, which I think is really right, where the interesting conflict comes, you know, one of the key things in terms of this triangulation strategy that he wants to put forward, he's going to come out, you know, he wants to be seen as a guy who's very strong on the environment. You know, he wants to be seen as a pro-green Republican. And, you know, this tax plan, this gas tax holiday that he's proposed, you know, both on the substance, as Michael pointed out, is in kind of conflict with what the consensus views are about trying to wean us off foreign oil, but it also is in conflict with the image that he wants to present himself as being, you know, a pro-green Republican. So there are a bunch of kind of interesting contradictions throughout that we can talk about more, but what I see him trying to do is trying to touch a lot of bases simultaneously, be mm-hmm. a different kind of Republican while not straying too far from Republican economics.
Mike, let me go to that clip of his anti-foreclosure plans that we play. One of the things from within that clip, he said, if you can't make your payments and you're in danger of foreclosure,
right,
you'll be able to go to any post office,
yeah,
and pick up a form for a new home loan. Can you,
yeah,
explain that?
Well, I can tell you where it's going to end up in the end. All right. The way that this problem is eventually going to get solved, whether it's under a Democrat or a Republican, is for the government to sort of take over some portion of the bad mortgage loans. In order to do that, without the mortgage lenders losing money, the government's going to have to put in a lot of money. What he's talking about here, once you've worked out the details, is a program that's going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars. And
hundreds of billions?
Hundreds of billions of dollars. Okay, and so this is not what where is the money to make these loans going to come from?
So the same John McCain who was saying 2 weeks ago that we shouldn't bail out individuals who've made bad decisions in the marketplace, including people buying homes they can't afford, is now proposing 30-year fixed-rate loans backed by the United States government to bail out the people who have adjustable-rate loans that they can't pay.
This is why I think, and it's interesting, you know, this is, in fact, a work in progress. There's going to be more speeches coming. And so I think what he's going to do and his economic advisor is going to do are going to hear their reaction to these things, and they're going to sort of be sort of tacking back and forth to sort of try to find the right line for him. When people tell him how much this is going to cost, because remember, what does making a loan mean? It means you have to pony up the money to make the loan. And so we're not talking about whether or not you're ponying up the money directly or you're ponying it up in guarantees. The money's got to come from somewhere. So in the end, this is going to turn out to be the number that I've been using is, you know, it was $250 billion for the SNL bailouts in the 1980s. I think this is going to end up being more on the order of sort of $400 billion. I'm sure the McCain campaign either has not costed this out or doesn't want to cost this out. But this is for him, this is the big problem. The only way to actually help people is by putting money in, and he doesn't want to be seen as putting money in.
And, in fact, he wants the income tax code to produce less money for the federal government. Here is what he had to say about that.
It's not enough, however, to make these little fixes here and there in the tax code. What we need, what we have a compelling requirement for, is a simpler, flatter, and a fairer tax code. As president, I will propose an alternative tax system. An alternative tax system. When this reform is enacted, all who wish to be under the current system could still do so. And everyone else could choose a vastly less complicated system with two tax rates and a generous standard deduction, period. Period. Americans don't resent paying their rightful share of taxes. What they do resent is being subjected to thousands of pages of needless and often irrational rules and demands from the IRS. We know from experience that no serious reform of the current tax code will come out of Congress. That's another little straight talk. So it's time to turn the decision over to the people. We're going to create a new and simpler tax system and give the American people a choice.
So, John Heilman?
Well, you know, listen, you hear that, and you think to yourself, the first two things you immediately think, right now, I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, and you can hear literally the screaming of the IRS, you know, down the street. I mean, there's thousands of tax auditors down at the IRS, the people who run that bureaucracy who are now, like, wailing loudly at the prospect of not implement one tax code, but implement an entirely separate tax code that's an optional system that people can either opt in or opt out of. That's the first thing. I mean, just at the level of bureaucratic complexity, this is an enormous, enormous issue. The second, of course, is that, you know, he's talking about how taxpayers complain about having to deal with all these tax forms, but, you know, if you or any other taxpayer were faced with two alternative systems, the first thing you would want to do is try to game those systems out and figure out which one you would pay less taxes under, right?
Well, yeah.
So immediately you're having to hire an accountant, and you're going through an incredibly complicated process of trying to figure out which of the two systems is better for you. So you've got an additional burden placed upon you in that. And then, of course, there's the question of if everyone does the economically rational thing and chooses the system the system that is better for them.
But, I mean, we sort of have that now, don't we, with the short form and the long form?
Well, I suppose, although I imagine if he's saying that you're going to keep the short form and the long form in the old system, and now you're going to add a third version, right? So that additional layer of, I mean, I agree with you that you're not talking here about simplifying the tax code, are you?
Yeah. Well, Mike Bandel, Chief Economist for Business Week, are we?
Are we what?
Talking about simplifying the tax code? That's how he framed it.
Well, simplifying the tax code would be a wonderful thing. But, you know, I listen to this and I kind of hear something different. What I hear is you know, McCain is on kind of the traditional Republican themes of lower taxes, which has kind of worked over the years. I'm not sure that that's really the theme that's going to work this year. I think for him the real issue is if people want more intervention from government, which it kind of sounds like they do under this circumstances, whether or not this theme of sort of less taxes is going to play well. And you see, it's funny. See, now I'm doing the political side, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to do the economy side.
But if you look at how his numbers work, he's talking. About cutting taxes, but he's not going to touch the military. He's not going to touch Social Security. He's not going to touch Medicare. He's not going to touch the bulk of the spending. And he's not going to touch the stuff that has to do with housing. And so you ask the question, well, where are the cuts going to come from? And
they're from earmarks, Michael, from earmarks. fraud and abuse.
A lot of those earmarks are in the military budget. A lot of the earmarks are in. So to me, this part of the speech sounds like boilerplate.
One more clip. We're over time, but this is about Medicare and how we would get a little money into the system through Medicare. Listen toward the end of this clip for the names Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
Many retired Americans face the terrible reality of deciding whether to buy food, pay rent, or buy their prescriptions. And their government should help them. But when we added the prescription drug benefit to Medicare, a new and incredibly costly entitlement, we included many people who are more than capable of purchasing their own medicine without assistance from taxpayers who struggle to purchase their own. People like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, don't need their prescriptions underwritten by taxpayers.
So real quick, we're almost out of time. Mike Mandel, he wants to start charging some Americans for Medicare.
Well, he can do that if he wants. I don't think it really gets to the heart of what people care about at this point. You know, I'm going to say what I said at the beginning. I view this speech as kind of an intermediate product, okay? And he's going to sort of take the responses to it, and I think we're going to see fine-tuning after this.
And it's a perfect segue to our next guest, T.R. Reid, the journalist who's traveling around the world to see how other countries do health care. John Heilman, last word from you?
I just think it's a straddle. You know, it's interesting. I mean, conservatives would like to have never seen the prescription drug benefit enacted in the first place. Now it's there. You can't get rid of it. So he's kind of doing the half. He sort of wants to say, well, we'll get rid of part of it, but at the same time, I'll be kind of populist and do something for the middle class and look like I'm kind of taking on the rich fat cats. And again, it's emblematic of the complicated straddle that he has and always has going forward, because he's neither a real traditional Republican nor an actual full-throated populist maverick.
A work in progress, apparently. John Heilman, contributing editor at New York Magazine, author of this week's cover story on John McCain. Mike Mandel, chief economist for Business Week. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
As we continue to play extended excerpts, as we did there, from the policy speeches from the presidential candidates, that economic speech from John McCain just from an hour ago.